Well, as I mentioned at the top of the program, there are different perspectives on this drought situation that Australia finds itself in at the moment. And one of those interesting perspectives comes from a farmer himself, Bryce Cam, who wrote an article at the weekend that I've shared on our Facebook page. And it's called View from the Paddock, Media Circus Consequences. And he started off the article by saying this past weekend he reached breaking point. He joins us now. Bryce, you reached breaking point, but not for the reason that people outside of the farming sector might think.
Yeah, look, correct, Stephen. I guess that might have been a bit of parody at the start of the article, but it does seem like the drought issue and has captivated the nation's media and the national agenda, particularly over the last 2 weeks. And to be honest, as a Queenslander and living in areas of Western Queensland that's been dealing and facing this drought issue for well over 3 years, it's a little hard to stomach that it's all of a sudden a crisis.
Let's go back a step and talk about your operation. So, what are the Cam Agricultural Group? What do you guys do?
So we're an integrated beef supplier. So we basically follow the beef supply chain. We've got some breeding properties in North Queensland, and then a feedlot enterprise on the Darling Downs.
And how has the drought actually affected your business, and to what extent?
It's varied across different parts of our business. It's in North Queensland, our country's not too bad. But very much our cropping properties are severely affected in the current dry period, and that then leads our inability to grow our own grain and fodder supplies. So we're facing a really high market to buy those in. And therefore a much higher cost of production to our business than we'd normally face.
Tell me, what is it about the coverage that has really bothered you? I mean, you mentioned that it's the fact that the drought's been going on, particularly in parts of Queensland, for up to 3 years, and some parts in New South Wales, 6 out of the last 7. Mm. Sure, the last 2 weeks have really ramped up, but what is it about the coverage itself that prompted you to write the article?
Look, first of all, I want to say it's great to see the empathy and the national support that is coming behind our agricultural industry and farmers in this time of need. And for people that are going through adverse situations and a drought, there is nothing tougher to experience than facing the crippling issues of drought. I guess for me, the real issue is that as a fourth generation person growing up in the ag sector, we continually talk about the difficulties of getting younger people to come into our industry and remain in it. We talk about the difficulties of attracting Australian superannuation to invest and back agriculture as a pillar of our economy. We talk about the issues of dying rural and regional towns. And we talk about that continually, I guess, through my life growing up. And so to see, continually on all forms of media and through social media, images of dire desperation and kind of people at their wit's end, really, that will really damage the image of agriculture and the prosperity that finally is actually occurring in this nation. And agriculture in the last 2 years, in my view, is in its golden days in this country at the moment. Finally, we've struck some great free trade agreements to increase our exports and start relieving the subsidies and tariff pressures that Australian farmers have faced. And there's been some renewed investments and some really exciting innovations and new companies and younger people coming back into the sector. And I guess in finally seeing those bright lights, of hope and development and prosperity come to our sector, to see that all tarnished in a 2-week period, in the way that some of the drought imagery can do. And I just felt that version of events needed conveying so that people, could understand both sides of the story.
So is it safe to say that your view is that the representation that the broader agricultural sector is in a dire situation and farmers are at their wit's end and desperation is the order of the day is not a fair representation of the greater agricultural industry?
Absolutely. Australian farmers are some of the most resilient agricultural operators in the world. We do live in a challenging climate in this country. It is, the driest continent on earth. But Australian farmers, through innovation and hard work and determination, have built great business models and great family farms and intergenerational farms that have thrived and prospered. And then there's new entrants coming into the sector that are doing exciting things, and I think that all should be celebrated. It's and in my view, we probably just, you know, unfortunately, you know, drama and crisis sell stories, and we just need to see a balance of good and positive outcomes around our sector just as much as we need to give and give appreciation and support to those that are doing it tough.
It's been said by some people that, and you're right, in the last 2 to 3 weeks, it has sort of really ramped up. And we've seen, I mean, we've been talking about it for ages on this program because we're talking to the bush. But metropolitan media, you're right, would make it, you know, make us believe that this happened overnight. Do you think that the government's response has been knee-jerk to that media coverage, or have they got it about right?
Oh, look, I mean, I think, you know, it's always important that there is some government support to any element of our society that's doing it tough. And I think that's a very, you know, that is a strong Australian value that we all hold. I think, you know, the government's recent announcement of, you know, an additional $12,000 payments to struggling producers, I think, you know, is a reaction to the media coverage. And that's good, you know. It's that's a good outcome for those people that require that. But I do temper that you know, for people that are out there feeding livestock at the moment, you know, that money will barely buy a trailer load of hay. And so, you know, I just don't want the perception out there that Australian farmers are being subsidised by the taxpayer, because that is a statement couldn't be any further from the truth.
Another farmer that I spoke to off the record says, look, his organisation, or his, you know, he's a beef cattle producer as well. And he said, look, we've prepared for this for years, and we will ride through this storm without any problem. Is that something that is happening? I mean, is that a fairly common perspective? And what we're only seeing is the fringes that are really, really bad? Or is this drought worse than we've ever seen, and is it affecting more farmers than we expected?
I think I spoke in the article, I'm very hesitant to say this drought is worse than anything we've ever seen, because this nation's fabric has been built on dry periods. It's and they are a reality for agriculturalists across this nation. I think you're right. I think many, you know, farmers have built capacity in their business, have built outside or diversified income streams, or have, you know, built geographic dispersity in their business to manage through drought. There is always an element that will find themselves, you know, that can't, you know, cope with the circumstances that the climate has caused them, or the dry period has brought on them. And that's why I think it's, you know, that's the Australian way, is that we will support those people that are in the most need. But at the end of the day, it's some less than 3% of the farming population that are getting any financial support at all, and I think that message needs to be clearly conveyed to the general public, is that, you know, most agriculturalists and farmers out there are managing, you know, this situation just the same as any small business or medium business in an urban environment would manage a economic downturn that might be affecting their business.
You've also talked in the article about long-term, I'm loathe to use the term drought proofing, because I don't think there's any such thing, but you've talked about infrastructure and looking at this from a long-term perspective. Do you get the sense that message is getting through?
I really don't, unfortunately. And that was the main point to sort of drive the article through, is that while there is this media spotlight, you know, on rural Australia and the dry period and the climate realities of doing business in agriculture in this nation, and we have governments here and they're looking to support agriculture, the short-term fixes are never going to, you know, to help. A bit of money here and there is not going to drought-proof Australia. And I agree with you, you're never really going to drought-proof this nation. But we should be looking at, you know, if we want strong and resilient agricultural sector, we need to look at water plans and the capture of water in this nation. We need to look at our trade policies and how we allow Australian farmers who are, you know, not subsidised and not protected by trade tariffs, compete on a global stage against those, you know, countries that we supply into, and against their farmers that are, you know, highly subsidised. It's also important that we, you know, we look at energy policy and make energy affordable and reliable so that we can look at, you know, improving, you know, agricultural techniques in various areas that are currently, you know, if they have electricity, they're doing well.
Bryce, you know what your biggest problem is, mate? Because you're a farmer, you speak common sense, and that just doesn't cut it anymore.
Oh, well, it's common sense. It's a good thing, I guess.
Yeah. Bryce, good to talk to you this evening. Thanks for your time.
Very good. Thank you.
That's Bryce Cam. What do you think of that? 13 27 10. Give me a call.